It's time to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 137, back from a recent hiatus. I am your soothingly arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my partner, a man recently recovered from the Zika virus, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening.
Good evening. They're calling it the Sicilian Zika at work.
Oh, it's the Sicilian Zika. Yeah. That's worse than the regular Zika.
It is worse. It's a lot worse. And I'm heavily medicated, in case anyone's wondering. I'm back. Probably shouldn't be, but we can't go a month without a podcast, so Tony has drugged me into the studio. And we are ready to go.
Fran, this could be our last podcast.
Really?
Or it could be our last podcast with cheap equipment. I think we've hit the big time here.
Have we?
We got an email to us.
Let me guess where from. I bet I could guess.
Go ahead.
Burkina Faso.
Damn. Damn nice. It. You're so right.
They're into me for about $2 million.
Well, she's not there now, but she was originally from there.
Oh, okay.
You know.
You know, they had it. Did you see the opening ceremonies?
Oh, no.
They have a team. They had a team in the Olympics.
Really?
I started yelling to my wife, hey, they're going to send me $9 million as soon as I get on my credit card.
No, I'm wrong. She is in Burkina Faso. Okay. She's originally from Sudan. Miss Tina Yak, who...
I think she was a pole vaulter on the Olympics.
She happens to be a princess.
Princess too. Pole vaulter.
So...
That's how much has she got waiting for us?
Let me see.
We can build our own studio for that. She
will compensate us with 30% of $5.1 million, Francis.
American?
Well, it doesn't say otherwise. Yeah. So.
The Burkina Faso wins.
All we have to do is help her place that money in a more profitable business. And recommend a nice university for her to finish her studies.
I think we can do that. Yeah. I think we can do that. We hook her up. She just needs our credit cards? Is that what she needs?
Oh shit, though. You know what, Fran? It says, please keep this only to yourself.
Damn it.
Oh, I just gave it
way
up.
Way to blow it, Hup. Sorry, take it to the big time.
Probably not going to happen now. All right, well, we have missed 2 weeks. A lot of things have happened since then.
I missed a lot of that.
Some of them lying Americans, swimmers down there in Brazil, which appears now that who knows really what happened. But
let's talk about the giant hissy fits that have been at the Olympics. Does anyone care that Ryan Lochte lied about getting robbed? I mean, I don't.
I think he was an idiot.
Oh, he's an idiot.
I didn't realize that was in dispute.
I mean, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
If you've seen his show, he's dumb as a stump. But the dude waved a gun at him and took their money.
I mean, that is true.
The fact that it didn't put it to his head, who gives a shit? I mean, he's already lost sponsors. Talk about overreaction.
Lost four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that with Ben Hope and all that other stuff. Keep hope alive.
Yeah. So we've missed a lot, but we've got a lot tonight. We're going to talk about a couple things. Of course, we'll do hardcore politics. I want to do... This is an actual conspiracy we're going to talk about tonight, Fran.
Yeah, this one actually has
I believe
teeth.
It is.
Yep. This one's got teeth, yep.
This is actually like movie stuff going on right now.
Oh, and it will be a movie, I guarantee you that.
We'll do the Global Gallup. We're going to do a top five list. It should be fun. Let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Las Vegas getting an NHL team.
Yeah, so they found out, you know, they do a little survey and they find out they've got the support to put an NHL team in Vegas. And people went nuts. You can't do that, you know, corruption this, corruption that. What freaking century are they living in? Do they think because a team is physically located there, like betting will be worth? They don't think people don't bet on NHL games because the games aren't in Vegas?
They think that.
What the hell
I mean,
is
that's
wrong
what
with
they
that?
Think about putting an NFL team there. I don't know.
What the hell is wrong with. I guarantee you, there were people laying bets whether or not Tom Brady got hurt in during his four-game suspension. And there's some bastard out there that won money because he cut himself with a knife. Because they have proximity to the actual buildings,
right.
That's somehow going to be more corrupt? Stupid people.
Right.
Stupid. Right. So, NHL in Vegas, that's going to be a great show, I think. And I'm a hockey
fan. I hope it leads to him getting an NFL team. Because,
Right, don't break the ice for a pro team there. Yeah.
Because a lot of the talk, now that would be worthwhile if you could fly into Vegas for the weekend, spend some time on a Friday night, Saturday, go to a game Sunday, fly back. Right. That would be worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right, next. All right, your favorite soccer goalie and mine, Hope Solo.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to prove something to you right now.
Go ahead.
Because you're a doubter. You're a hater. Let's just get that out there. This is the difference between European football and American soccer. Hope Solo, they lose in the Olympics. Shouldn't have. They're favored to win it all. They don't even make the semifinals. They lose to Sweden, was it?
I think it was.
She comes out and says, well, we lost to a bunch of cowards.
Right.
Had that game been played in the Premier League, England's top league, which airs on Saturday and Sundays on NBC, those comments wouldn't even have caused a blip because they were accurate.
Right.
The Swedes refused to attack. They tucked the ball in their end. Once they got a goal up, they refused to kick the ball across midfield. Hope Solo was right in her account. But because she's an American and plays the sport in America, you can't say that crap. In Europe, they would probably be like, wait, they just suspended their best goaltender from the national team because she called the Swedes a cowards. What the hell is wrong with them?
I'm with you.
That's another overreaction, just like the Ryan Lochte thing. Just a huge overreaction to that. 6 months they kicked her off the team. 6 months! They didn't kick her off that much when she beat the hell out of her sister.
Right. Right.
I just don't understand it. I mean, and the guy doing the main play-by-play guy for the Olympic soccer is the main dude for the Premier League. And you could hear he was just incredulous. Like, they're suspending her? For what? They couldn't even figure it out. Just complete overreaction.
She needs to start claiming some of that white privilege.
Yeah.
She ain't getting any of it there. All right, next. Let me see. Back to hockey.
Yeah.
The Arizona Coyotes hire their first full-time female coach.
I tell you what, the NHL is really trying to work themselves out of the stupor they're still feeling from their strike years ago. So the Arizona Coyotes hire a full-time assistant, and it's a woman. First ever in the NHL. First ever in professional sports, I think, in the four major sports, that we have a female as a full-time assistant coach. Meaning, if by chance the head coach gets pitched, gets ejected, she might end up being the head shed for a game. That would be, like, unprecedented. So, NHL making some news here in the offseason, which is good. Always good to be making news in the offseason. So good for her.
Especially for the NHL.
She's got to be tough, man. I can't imagine what that's got to be like.
Yeah, I know.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
All right, next. And in a situation that continues to escalate, the U.S. fires warning shots at an Iranian vessel after close encounters. The Iranians were kind of buzzing them, I guess. A Navy destroyer. U.S. Navy patrol craft, and they fired 3 warning shots at an Iranian Revolutionary Guard boat.
They have Navy, do they? The Iranians?
Yes, they do.
Well, that American commander clearly didn't get the memo. We're paying them people now. You don't shoot at them when you're paying them.
But this is the second time in not too long. Yeah. I mean, they did the thing where they grabbed our guys.
Yeah.
And then now they're buzzing our boats, and we've fired a couple warning shots.
Well, man, I mean, this is typical. I mean, this is typical of the real directionless foreign policy, right, of this administration. I mean, how long now have we been documenting that? I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason to foreign policy with this particular government. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it at this point.
It's just weak.
Yeah, it just has no direction. There's no theme. There's no, hey, this is what we're trying to do.
I mean, that's concerning because when you start, they did a high speed approach, and then I guess we finally fired a couple shots. Shit can happen there,
right? Somebody gets a little itchy trigger. Yeah, I mean, it can go down real quick. Before anyone can step in, and it can get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's concerning. All right, next. And in more military news, everybody's favorite little psycho, the North Koreans shot a ballistic missile out of a submarine.
He's You know, he's trying to emulate the American. What do they call that? The triangle, right? Then we have the triad.
The triad, yeah.
The triad, right? With air, sea, and ground launch missiles. So he's launched some from their launch pad, and now he's punched one out of the ocean with a sub.
Kim Jong declared it their greatest success.
He's correct, but that's a relative term. Okay, I think. Although I would say this, the sea launched missile went much farther and was more accurate to the point that the South Korean military has gone on 24-hour full alert. They used to just ramp up when he would start doing stuff. Now they're on permanent alert. So, and they feel like now they're in danger that because he can reach the South Korean portion of the peninsula. So.
But it's a little continuation of the same, right? Here's this guy. I mean, when is this going to stop?
So here's the problem now. It's not so much the booster, but now they've achieved miniaturization, which is the key to putting a warhead on a rocket, is to miniaturize all the components of a nuclear warhead. And they've achieved that. So they're really ramping up their booster tests. So you got to wonder if he's going to plant one in Seoul here at some point or try and drop one on Alaska. I mean, and he'd be the guy to do it. I mean, I don't think he'd think twice about that because I don't think he understands, like, the word repercussion.
Well,
let's get Rodman in there.
Maybe. Yes, we need to send Rodman back over. Maybe he's, you know, at what point do you start believing your own kind of hype and lies and stuff? You know what I mean?
Go.
All right. Fran, going to do something I haven't done for a long time. I'm going to do a little bully pulpit tonight.
Okay.
Tony, treat me rough and give me that bully pulpit.
Okay, so I'm riding in my car the other day, and I hear a public service announcement, right? And it's about leaving children in hot cars. Over the last 4 years, I think, the average of 37 children have died from heat-related deaths after being trapped in vehicles. I had no problem with a public service announcement saying, hey, this is a bad thing. Here's where it goes wrong. Now, I tried to find the audio. I couldn't, but I did find the script. I did find it printed on the State of Tennessee kidsincars.org website. It says, it talks about what can happen, and then it says, even the best of parents or caregivers can unknowingly leave a sleeping baby in a car. It could happen to anyone. First of all, no. No, it cannot. First of all, this is not something that happens to you. This is something you do or do not. It happens to the child, not the person. And the idea, and this is part of what's wrong with America right here. This is part of what is effing wrong with America right here. As we say things like, if you leave a child in a hot car, it could happen to anyone. No, no. I raised two kids. Fran, have you ever left your kids in the car, in a hot car?
Not for more than a minute before I said, oh crap, for some reason they're sleeping and I forgot. And I ran back out and got her.
I've never left my children in a car.
Well, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, you get running around, you get, you know, you got a million things going on in your mind. I mean, I can see it happening. But once I got in the house, I mean, I would turn right back around and thought, oh, shit, I left her in the car.
I can't imagine it happening.
It does.
And I can't imagine PSAs that say it could happen to everyone. It doesn't happen to you. It happens to the child.
Yeah, oh, sure. But, I mean, I don't know, to rain judgment down on people who experience that. I mean, I think
that's worthy of raining judgment down. If you've got a child,
I guess if you were perfect as a parent, I guess you could do that.
It's not about being perfect as a parent. It's about saying, well, that could just be an accident. It's not a fucking accident. Sorry for that.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't purposely leave her in there.
Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about this announcement.
But I did it. I mean, I'm not sure where you're going there. Do you think people are purposely leaving their kids in their cars to die?
No.
Like, I didn't, like, consciously leave her in and go and run into the supermarket. I jumped out of the car and then said, oh, crap, and went back and got her.
Went back and got her.
Right. I mean, it was 10 seconds.
We have people that have left their kids in the cars for hours. That doesn't happen to somebody.
That I can't figure out because at some point the house would have been too freaking quiet. Now, if we're talking about people who
we had a
have
guy
left
that-
kids run into the grocery store real quick, then yeah.
We had a guy that left his child in a car and went to work.
Yeah, okay, that... If that's what you're talking about, yes.
Okay, and we have a public servant, and I'm just saying, hey, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there.
I disagree with that.
I'm with you there. If you consciously do it, say, well, I'm going to run in here real quick, or I'm going to go do this, knowingly leaving them in the car, then I'm with you. But to say that parents don't get overwhelmed at times, or, you know...
And that may be true, but if you go to work, and you go into work,
no,
and you leave your child in a car for 4 hours...
Yeah, I get it. That I get. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I mean... If that happened and you ran back out and got up, that's one thing. But this idea that, oh, you know, you would just forget a child in a car and just leave them there till they die. I just can't. I can't.
Over hours, I couldn't see that. I couldn't understand that, because at some point, I mean, I can't.
And apparently, over the last couple of years, this has happened at least 37 times a year.
Now, I'd be curious to know how many of those are intentional, like the dude who left them there for work, because that was obviously intentional. Right?
No, he said he forgot.
So he was taking his kid to work?
This was in Maryland. He was supposed to drop the child off at the babysitter's and said he forgot.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That doesn't happen to you. That happens to the child.
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of wussies. All right.
Let's get hardcore.
All right, so is Trump turning it around? He's got Kellyanne Conley now running the show.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he's picking up pace in Florida, which is a little bizarre to say, because you'd think he'd be winning Florida, but so tonight he's pulled even with her in Florida. He's losing in a lot of states still badly. I mean, so he's changed his position on some things. All of a sudden, we're not going to have squads deporting 11 million people. We're still gonna have that friggin' wall, but we're not gonna. His new campaign manager said, you know, the deportation squads are yet to be determined. But she used the phrase deportation squads, and I was a little surprised at that, because there's no positive connotation there. You know, you always want to kind of spin in the positive, right? When you're talking about your candidate. But when you use phrases like deportation squad, I'm not sure that people would feel good about that. But he's changing his mind on that now. Now they might let those 11 million stay, find a path for them. That's a huge departure from what he was saying before.
Oh, yeah.
So,
But they're saying that, no, it's not really a change. It's just they're fashioning their policy, right?
Right. And I believe the first half of that. It's not really changed. Because I believe the other part was the lie.
Well...
Because he's a liberal. I mean, people are going to start figuring it out.
What he said, what I heard him say at first was that, without using the word, basically said, we're going to offer amnesty. And then right behind that, he said, well, we're not doing amnesty. We're not doing that.
Right. The true apostles are now seeing the real Donald Trump.
I didn't have much time to jump on social media today, because I wanted to see what all those hardcore conservatives that have been talking about Trump for now and calling everybody else a rhino are starting to see.
See, and that's an oxymoron. To say that hardcore conservatives support Trump is a liberal.
I know.
I don't understand what they're looking at or seeing, but now he's going to have to start changing a lot of these stances in a pivot he should have made when he became the nominee.
Right.
This girl has finally got him to start pivoting, right? So, but he's not really pivoting. I'm with you. The stuff before was him lying to the American people. Now you're hearing what he truly believes. So it's not really a flip-flop. It's just that the veneer has come off.
And I didn't see it. I didn't see his thing with Hannity, but I listened to it. And, you know, I think that there's a whole lot of people that kind of feel like I do. Like, you can't just drive a semi around, throw all these people in there and drive over the border.
The physical logistics of that is not really going to
happen. We got to do something. We got to have a process here or something.
Are we going to just... Right. Are we going to build tracks and put them on trains? You know? I mean, is that the images we want to conjure up? Deportation squads? I mean, you know, I don't know. I think, to me, the bigger thing is the reading from teleprompters. I think that's amazing that she's gotten to do that. But that's not... I think that's not going to last. I think at some point... He's going to come off the rails and go, back to being Trump. And
well, she needs to get him to leave that Twitter account alone. I mean, I mean, I'm not pitching for. Look, I don't know. I'm at a loss. I threw my hands up.
I'm with you.
I watched. What did I watch the other day? Gary Johnson was on. I think he was on with the Five or something like that.
Yeah.
And
he's out there a little bit.
You have to. Well.
He's an acquired taste.
What was the thing that I was making fun of him for doing? You know,
scaling Everest or whatever.
Well, no, it's the way he talks. He has a tendency to get high pitched and sometimes like, well, you know, there's a lot of parts of immigration that we have to solve, and you know, it's just you know, you can't build a wall.
You can't win like you that. Ask Alan Keyes. You can't win with a high pitched voice. You just can't do it.
It's just a funny way that like. You know, he elevates his voice at certain times that make him sound goofy.
And his other problem is his vice president is 10 times smarter than him.
Yeah.
Like his running mate.
Oh, yeah.
It just overshadows him.
His running mate would be better off if he was the candidate. I think so.
And the Green Party girl is way smarter than him. She ever hear her talk?
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty. I mean, she's a nut. But, I mean, you hear she's very, you know, just very smart. So. Yeah, I'm with you. It's just a wilderness, man. I just don't know. So
it is.
I'm waiting for Sarah Palin to come out and start blasting Trump for using the teleprompter.
You know, yeah,
because that's all telepromptery, and I don't know if she likes that. So, we'll see if he gets blasted for that.
So now there's this issue with Hillary being ill, which is a big right wing conspiracy, Fran. But have you read up anything on it?
Yeah, I think I finally started paying attention to it when Giuliani came out and said,
"Well, you know,
go on the internet." He says, "It's all over the internet." Well, that makes it true, Rudy. Really good.
If you actually have a case, that's not a great way to make it.
No.
Yeah.
So the video they're all talking about is the one I don't buy it, only because the person there says that's not how it went down. It's a truncated clip, and they're mischaracterizing that. The one for me that makes me believe that there's something wrong with her. Well, actually, there's two. There's the one that's from the South Carolina primary, where they're helping her up to the steps into what she was using as a headquarters.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just, well, let me hold your hand because these steps are steep and there's no rail. You can see that dude is bearing her weight.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong. And then there's another where she's on stage and a dude is holding her hand. And you can see from his arm and hand, he's bearing her weight. And that strikes me as a person who either has vertigo or they have some sort of problem in the brain pan, and they're having a problem balancing and standing up. Is it a remnant of a concussion? Something? Did she get some kind of head injury?
I've got a couple that kind of make me convinced that there's something wrong with her. And it may not be, you know, I don't know. But I do think that clip is a little telltale that you were talking about, because I've watched it a couple times, and that reporter that you referenced, she kind of recoils when Clinton is doing her,
but she claims you're not seeing the whole thing. So
what else is there to see, though?
She's saying there was a whole repertoire before that, a whole repartee back and forth that then she was playing around with that.
That would have explained that.
That's what she claims.
Okay,
so,
well,
and so I'm just taking her word, but I don't need that one because the other two to me were more
telling.
Well,
that's true. But I would say there's one angle where you can see the reporter's face and she recoils and goes, "What's wrong?"
And that's what the dude from Fox claims. But
bigger than that, two of them for me is, one is the email that was uncovered from Huma Abedin where she was supposed to meet some foreign dignitary in the morning, and Abedin was talking to another associate and said, "You got to run this by HRC and make sure she knows what's going on. She often gets confused." That's kind of a damning
email.
Yeah, see,
I
want
to pull the string on that and find out, what does that mean? What are you talking about there? What's the context around that?
Your main confidant is telling somebody else that you often get confused. And then the other one is that one where she's on stage and she kind of locks up and freezes. And then that big black guy, who I never noticed before, but now since I've noticed him, I see him in every video.
He's her body man. Right.
He's the big black guy, and he goes up there and they catch him on that mic saying, "It's okay. Just go on and start talking."
Yeah.
So she goes up there and just repeats what he just said. Right? And that's just weird, right?
Yeah. There. Well, and that's not the only time that's happened. Right, so she was reading from the teleprompter, and she read facial cues right off the teleprompter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost like Ron Burgundy, right?
Yeah.
It said roll eyes and sigh, and she read that as text. You know what I mean? So there's enough there for conspiracy theorists to go bananas over. But until a doctor comes out and says she has some sort of brain trauma, you know, what are you going to do?
Well,
because we're not at that moment yet. At some point, don't they release their physical records or something?
Well, I think they said they've released all they're going to release.
Oh, okay.
And so, that they haven't released all of them, but they're not going to release it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm waiting for the big lockup in a key moment or something.
Yeah.
You know, that would,
and the other part of this could be the stress of just the campaign. I mean, it's a tough sled. I mean,
actually, that's another point I would make is she's running for president, and she is often goes several days at a time where you don't really see her.
Yeah. Well, because she's probably worn the hell out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
She's
and
not
that's
giving
telling
any press conferences.
Yeah.
That's telling. And it's like I heard somebody use the term the other day, like, she's just trying to run the clock out.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
The less you see her,
well,
the better it's going to be
for
her.
But I got to be honest. If I'm her campaign manager, I'm telling her to go dark.
Yeah.
Because, hell, Trump, until these last couple days, he'd been blowing his own foot off every time he turned around. You haven't even heard the president talk about him.
Right.
The last thing he said about him was, well, hell, every time he opens his mouth, he damages his own campaign. Why do we got to do anything?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's not a bad strategy
if
this other stuff hadn't surfaced, right? Because now, if she's ill, do these long periods of silence mean she needs this to recover from whatever event she was just at? You know, and it brings all that into question. And like I said last time, it was now 3 weeks ago, right? 4 weeks ago from our last one. You know, he's out of it. He's out of it. A lot of shit can happen between now and November.
That's right.
We are in what they refer to as the dry period, and a lot of stuff could happen between now and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
on both
so
sides.
He would be silly to give up, because if she, you know, if sometime in mid-October it comes out that she's got some kind of, you know, some kind of brain injury or some kind of tumor or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or repercussions from that concussion when she passed out. She may be out of it, and then, you know, he could end up turning around and win it. Because currently, as it stands, he's going to get his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
But if I were him, I'd just be staying in for the long haul, because her health, who knows what, but it's suspect in my mind, so.
Yeah. All right. Friend, we're going to do something we haven't done for quite a while. We're going to do It's a Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
You think you know the whole story?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Okay, so this is the story of Seth Rich.
Hmm.
I will read the facts. He was a 20-year-old DNC staffer who was killed July 10th, early Sunday, about 4:20. He was not jogging. He was dressed in business clothes, apparently on his way to somewhere. But the fact is, he was murdered early Sunday, 4:20 a.m. That's pretty early on a Sunday, July 10th. Nothing was stolen from him. So nobody grabbed his wallet, his phone, his keys, nothing. The emails from the DNC were leaked on July 17th. DNC convention was held July 25th, 28th. WikiLeaks came out and offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to conviction in the murder. In a Dutch interview, which I will play here in a second, Julian Assange said WikiLeaks protects their sources. When asked if Rich was a source, Assange said WikiLeaks does not reveal that information. Let's take a quick listen to that.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there?
We
Do
never
you even
sit
know
on
what you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources are.
But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are. In the United States, and that our sources are you know, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. That's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that. We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to...
Fran, can you believe what you just heard?
No, because you had said something about that, and other news sources have added that kid as a source. But Julian Assange just said he's a source. I don't care how he's couching it. He just said he's a source. He picks a random murder and starts talking about the danger his sources are in. People get murdered in D.C. all the time. It used to be called the murder capital of the world. But he zeroes in on this one. Why? As the reporter rightly asks him, why would you even bring it up then if that's not an issue?
Yeah, and he brought it up unprompted.
Right.
And then he said, in cases like this where the stakes are so high.
Right.
So basically, you just said you think that kid got murdered because he leaked those emails.
Because he leaked the emails, right. And he would be in a position to leak those emails for what he was doing for Hillary Clinton. So he's making obvious connections there. He's implying a lot of things.
See, where's Woodward and Bernstein when you
right.
need them? I mean, it's hard for me to believe somebody's not digging into this with everything
and
they
maybe
have
they
as
are,
a journalist.
Because, you know, they Woodward and Bernstein,
be.
It took them a while
yeah.
to get that to the
right.
out in the open. So there might be that version going on.
But I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you believe what he
yeah.
just said?
Yeah. No, I can't. Like I said, I can't. And then he tries to say he doesn't comment and he's
yeah.
not one of our sources. You just said he was. I mean, you did everything but say the words, he's one of our sources.
Yeah. You said everything but he's one of our sources and he got murdered for what he did.
Right. And what's the implication? That someone in Hillary's camp murdered the kid because he released emails. That's the implication.
Somebody with very high stakes
right.
murdered him.
Somebody
because he
vested
emails.
In her campaign, somebody with a nickel in that, off that kid because he was the source. That's not that hard to believe. It's hard to believe that he says that and then tries to claim, no, I'm not saying he's the source. Yeah, you are. You're not nearly as bright as you think you are. That two-bit reporter just got you to out yourself, and he never asked a question.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He offered it up.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's one of the most compelling stories that's not being talked
yeah.
about right
I mean,
now.
Look, if you don't think this kid wasn't killed for a purpose, come on. I mean, yes, people are killed randomly in D.C. all the time, but not 20-year-olds still in their suit at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Who is that highly placed in the Hillary campaign.
And I didn't say this because I was trying to stick to the facts in the beginning, but they say he was on his way to a meeting with the FBI.
Yes, that's what the reports say.
Conjecture.
Yes.
But, yeah, you're in a business suit at 4:20, you get murdered, and nothing is stolen. Somebody doesn't take the time to grab your wallet.
And this kid's in, you know, in Hillary's campaign, he's got a, I guarantee you, at minimum, he has a BlackBerry, he has an iPhone, he has an iPad.
Yeah.
And he probably has a laptop. He's got all that shit in his bag. I guarantee it. And if he was going to where they say he was going, he absolutely has all that stuff with him because that's where all his evidence is. So, and none of that got taken? Come on. That's baloney.
I know.
Yeah. That's shady as hell. You could throw out whether or not she's sick. If that comes to fruition, she's history. I mean, that's, you know...
I mean, it's amazing to me. And it's amazing when I heard about it and then I started kind of looking into it and then I found that interview with Assange. I'm just like,
that's incredible. That clip is incredible.
Yeah.
I could listen to that 10 times over. That's amazing. And that reporter, you could just tell in his voice, like,
wait a minute.
You just.
Yeah.
He's a source? That's what you're saying? And he was killed because of it? You're implicating the Democratic nominee in the murder of one of our own people? I mean, that's
crazy.
Staggering.
It is crazy. Hopefully, we'll hear more about this, and we'll talk about this more in the future. I want to do something else we've not done for a while. I want to do a very quick global gallop. Just play a couple of things. Okay, Fran, I want to talk about this just for a couple minutes, partly because, you know, our immigration policy seems like it's always in the news. Maybe it's because we live here and we're always hearing about it. But, you know, you hear a lot of stuff like, oh, how terrible it is that we actually want people to come into our country illegally, or that we actually want a secure border, or that we want immigration controlled. I'm going to play, this is a government public service announcement from the Australian government about their immigration policy. Let's just take a listen.
The Australian government has introduced the toughest border protection measures ever. It is the policy and practice of the Australian government to intercept any vessel that is seeking to illegally enter Australia and safely remove it beyond our waters. If you travel by boat without a visa, you will not make Australia home. The rules apply to everyone, families, children, unaccompanied children, educated and skilled. There are no exceptions. Do not believe the lies of people smugglers. These criminals will steal your money and place your life and the life of your family at risk for nothing. The message is simple. If you come to Australia illegally by boat, there is no way you will ever make Australia home.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
If they catch you coming by boat, they have two different islands. I forget the places right now. And they basically take you to those islands, and you stay there until you get processed out, which could be 5 months to a year or more.
When they process you out, that means what? They send you back from where you came, or you return
you really loose? Even know what that means. They pay a government from Micronesia and some other place. Basically, they take you there, and it's like they get your, I assume they get. So they can identify who you are,
right?
And then they turn you over to those people to, I don't know. The stories I hear is that some people wind up staying in these places for a year, a year and a half, with poor facilities. I mean, basically they take you somewhere and they don't give a shit.
Maybe is it like a jail type of situation?
It's like a camp, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're not helping you get back to where you came from.
No. I think basically they take you there and...
And then you're on your own after you get done.
But you will not... You will not become a member of Australia. Pretty clear.
Make the Australia home.
I think that their policy is pretty clear.
Yeah, so basically what he's saying is, if you try that, you will never, ever be able to come to Australia or ever become an Australian.
That's right. I think that's pretty clear.
Ever. That's it.
You know, I just think it's funny that when we always look at ourselves and go, oh, you know, I hear people talk about our immigration policy. That's pretty clear cut right there.
Yeah. That's kind of odd, though, when you think about the history of the origin of that nation.
Well, it is. That irony hasn't been lost on me.
Yeah.
But also, you know, they've got the bonus of being an island continent.
Right.
So a little bit easier to catch everybody
sneaking across. Their wall is already built in. You know what I mean? They kind of...
And not to pile on, but I don't know if you heard this story, too. There's a story in Switzerland about these young Muslim girls who had visas and applications to become citizens. And part of the curriculum at the school that they were attending was that, you know, they had to get in the pool and take swimming classes, right? And it was mixed, you know, it was co-ed, and these Muslim girls refused to get in the pool, and the Swiss pulled their visas and their citizenship applications and said, you're out of here. You're either going to enculturate or you're not going to become a Swiss citizen.
But does learning to swim make you part of the culture? I don't understand. Is it like, are the Swiss known for swimming? Like, I don't understand.
No.
How is that part of the culture? I don't get it.
The way I read the story is this is what we do as Swiss people.
To become a citizen, you have to do that?
No.
Okay.
This is a mandatory curriculum.
So just school.
It's just school. And if you're not going to participate in our mandatory curriculum, you're out of here.
Well, my question would be, is that something reserved just for Muslims, or is that everyone?
I would think it was everyone.
What if they have a kid born there who says, well, I'm not swimming? What do they do with them?
Well, if you're already a Swiss citizen, perhaps it's handled differently. I don't know. The article was about these two girls who refused to get in the pool, and they pulled their visas and their citizenship applications.
I don't get the culture thing there. I'm lost on that, but... You know,
that's what they said. You're either going to learn to become a Swiss citizen, or you're not going to be here.
What does swimming have to do with becoming a Swiss citizen?
I don't think it's swimming. I just think it's saying you have to do what all of our people do. And if you're not going to do that, then you're not going to be one of us. Oh, that's pretty harsh and extreme.
In a free society, that'd be tough to enforce.
I mean, imagine what would happen if they pulled that here. If somebody tried to pull that here. Try to say, you have to get in the pool.
This is a free country, so I don't really understand how that would work. But
no, I don't think it would. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I mean, we get a lot of criticism for that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
Just to take examples from other places in the world.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but we talked about this a while ago. I think it was when we were on our Germany bent, and Sweden. I think when we were having the rapes went through the roof in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, he's South African, and he wrote this little missive on Facebook, and he said, Europe will not be secure until they reestablish their borders and their armies. A homogenous Europe is the only way they'll be safe from these things. And maybe this is the Swiss's version of how they're going to do that. Like, hey, you come here, but you got to become one of us.
Right.
And so maybe that's how they're going to do it.
That's what I think that they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to integrate, which is the thing I say about America. We're not... And I will say...
But see, how would you do that here,
okay,
though?
But here, Oprah Winfrey said this the other day, and I don't even remember what I was watching, and they had this little... Oprah Winfrey says, diversity's not the word. It has to be inclusion. Now, see, I could agree with that. We all have to homogenize around at least some concepts or something, or you don't have a country.
And what would those be, and who gets to decide them?
Well, I would think that they would be like... Well, I think that they're prescribed for us. It's like freedom of speech, property rights. Many would say gun ownership. Some would not say that. But, you know, you have to at least have some kind of principles or some commonality that you share, or you just don't have a country. That's the way I feel about it. Now, you know, we're unusual in the free... You know, a lot of countries define themselves by their religion. We're probably one of the minority of countries that actually don't do that.
Right.
Right.
Well, and we're built on the principle of not doing that.
Of not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mythical Christian nation everyone talks about. This was set up so we didn't have to be a Christian nation. It was set up so that we could just be a nation, period, without addendum.
Right. Well, what one of my teachers used to say, one of my retarded professors used to say...
did you say retired or retarded?
I said retarded. Okay. I'm sorry. Mentally challenged.
Developmentally delayed.
Yeah.
Is the new phrase. You didn't get the memo.
He used to say, we may be a nation of Christians, but we cannot call ourselves a Christian nation. That's what he would say. And I would kind of agree with that. Like, at that time, that demographic is changing. But all right. Next up, we're going to do a top five list, and this is going to be fun.
Yes.
So here's what happened. I was alerted to an article by one of our listeners, who happens to be related to me. The MSN had a report that prior to Trump declaring he was going to run for president, he'd actually had a discussion with NBC about, hey, if I run for president and get elected, let's do The Apprentice from the White House.
Right from the Roosevelt room, we'll do that sucker.
So the concept, as a matter of fact, my brother wrote me that, and he said, can you believe this? And I said, oh, now I have to vote for him.
I know a lot of people who've said that just to see it happen.
I need to see this. So tonight's top five list, I've asked Fran to bring a list of the top five of the people that he would want to see on his team for a version of the Celebrity Apprentice.
And a couple alternates, right?
I got
a couple alternates.
Yeah.
Five, four, three, two, one.
So, Fran, when Trump is elected president, who's the first pick on your team?
I'll give him my number five. My number five is Elizabeth Hurley, because she's filthy.
Oh, nice.
In a good way.
Okay. Well, I was going to go from one to five. Maybe I'll go from five to one.
Yeah, I'm going from five to my best.
I'll go from five to one. And just for clarity, I don't know that I have a best. I picked my team for entertainment purposes only.
All right. Well,
I don't know how competitive this team would be.
Just read your team.
I don't know how competitive they'd be, but they'd be fun.
Just read your squad.
Number five, Selma Hayek.
Oh, I thought about her, but then I saw pictures of Elizabeth Hurley, and I dumped Selma.
Selma Hayek. So that's my number five. What's your number four?
Tom Brady, because, you know, you got to have a winner on there. One of the all-time greatest winners. So.
Wow. Interesting. My number four, Mike Tyson.
Nice. That's a quality pick right there.
I just really want to win this, Mr. Trump. Mike Tyson.
All right, so my next three, I went sort of adversarial, because if it's Trump's White House, you know, there's I've got built-in tension. So my number three is Mitt Romney.
Oh, nice. And, you know, this is a list. We're not saying that they would actually do it, but this is who we'd like to see. Right. I don't know that Mitt would
God
do it.
Help us if we... Yeah.
Because my number three, I don't know if she would do it either. Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, nice. That's inspired right there, yeah.
Pig, you fired.
You little hog hands, get out of here. All right, so my number two, this is an inside joke for people from Atlantic City. Steve Wynn, you know who Steve Wynn is? He kind of took over Vegas, and then he built casinos in Atlantic City to challenge Trump's casinos. Oh. He's blind. He did a lot of commercials where you didn't even know he was blind because he's walking around. But he used to stick to Trump sideways. So he'd be my number two man.
My number two, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Yeah. Entertainment value, right?
Yeah, now. Yeah. Well, okay. If you go off straight up, then your number one's got to be Gary Busey, right?
I thought about him and didn't put him on my list.
My number one, Mark Cuban.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Got to have an assassin on the squad, you know.
That would be a good pick.
Yeah.
My number one, recently retired with a lot of free time, Peyton Manning.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Peyton Manning.
So we got the two best quarterbacks of all time on the in the White House at the same time.
On opposite teams. Yeah. That might be fun. Yeah. So who are your alternates?
So my number one alternate is Stephanie Seymour, because damn. Oh,
okay.
Have you seen the latest bikini pictures?
It's not bad.
She's like my age. This is not even like she's not even a cougar because she's my age. God, I mean, it's unbelievable the body on this woman. So my number two alternate is Bernie Sanders.
Oh, nice.
Can you imagine letting him loose in the White House? He'd be like freaking Quasi, but you'd never get him out of there. He'd be like,
Mr. Trump, in my view, my team, we're sharing success.
They have, and we have not.
My two alternates, both Bills, Bill O'Reilly and Bill Murray.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me a Bill Clinton there. All right.
that would have been good. Okay, those are our teams for the White House version of the Celebrity Apprentice.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Francis, what do you got?
So, the University of Adelaide develops embryo scanning, and they do this to help people who are having trouble getting pregnant pick the best embryo to give them the best chance to get pregnant and stay pregnant, because that's a lot of times the issue is not getting pregnant, it's staying pregnant. And I have personal experience with that with my wife. That's how we got our twin girls. But what they've discovered now is that they can scan these embryos for more than just picking the most viable. They can scan them like at the DNA level, and now you could get into picking brown eyes versus blue, long hair versus short, you know, skin tone. We're right on that friggin' edge, man. I mean, there's some ethical issues that are gonna pop up. Because are we gonna dictate how humans look before they're even fertilized?
Making little Frankensteins.
Yeah. I mean, and again, my wife and I, we needed help to get pregnant. Unfortunately, one of our twin daughters didn't survive, but I would find this really detestable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just to pick, well, yeah, these embryos are weak. Let's just throw them out. I mean, you know, for me, that would be a problem personally. I'm not saying that there's a moral issue there, but for me, there would be one. And so, but this is like, when we start messing with, the helical shape of our DNA. And
I had one, we canceled, but I had one 2 weeks ago that was kind of the same. It was about... it was about creating babies in completely artificial environments.
Okay.
Where they would not actually be in a womb. They would be in a...
Like a man-made womb type
of thing. Yes, with artificial fluid and temperature controlled. Yeah. We're monkeying around with shit. When you start playing God, right, that's what we're doing.
Right.
But we're not, see? We're not nature or God or however you think these processes happen. And they're bound to go wrong. Yeah. That's yes.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. So this one was a little scary. We're usually pretty funny with this, but that one just caught my eye, and I thought, man, we are on the cusp. And you and I are young enough, in a relative sense, that within our lifetimes, we may see...
Oh, yeah.
You know, what some people will, I guarantee you, say are the benefits of this, because we could eliminate disease, we could eliminate, you could eliminate the cancer gene from a baby before it's even fertilized in the womb, because you could find that link in the DNA and take it out, or not more importantly, what this allows them to do is not fertilize that particular,
right?
There's just a lot going on there that just seems way out of place.
Yes, I agree. And it's because, I guess you can look at it. You can look at all the positive effects, but I don't want to be repetitive because I think we just said this, but, I always look at the things that can go bad.
What's the oh shit
how
moment?
It can be, not even how it can go bad accidentally, yeah, how it can be misused intentionally.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would anybody go back and get rid of atomic weapons if we could? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. But.
But those are the quandaries you run into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, sorry we've been off for 2 weeks. We will try to be back next week.
I'm taking my vitamin C. I'm going to stay healthy.
I hope you're not giving me the Sicilian Zika. I hope it's got a darn it period. go home and take a vitamin up, man. Something. Start living a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
You're juicing. All right, man.
I've lost 10 pounds.
Some shots.
It's because I've had no appetite, and that alone tells you how sick I am. I've dropped 10, and I'm on the way down. So.
All right. Well, good luck to you, my friend. Hey, to all you out there, we'll be back next week with another version of Unfiltered, Unfettered, the podcast. As always, stay very safe, stay sharp, and we will see you next week. Jonah, please. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks, Tony and Fran, for getting us unfiltered and unfettered.